The world that we live in today is really, really adrift. Okay? It is really, really drifting. It's drifting far and it is drifting fast. And it is drifting further and further away from God. And so as we talk about sharing Jesus in our Jerusalem, the question really comes about, how do we who live in a culture that is drifting away from God and is becoming more and more difficult, how do we share Jesus in our Jerusalem? Okay? And that's what we want to focus on today. Do we hide? You know, do we just kind of separate ourselves from the world and say, the world is too tough to deal with, it's drifting too far away from God, I don't want to have anything to do with it, so I'm just going to kind of hide myself away from the world? Is that the answer? I don't think so. The Israelites did that because they misunderstood what God had called upon them to do as being separate from the world. God never intended for them to completely isolate themselves from the world as they did. What He meant was for them to separate themselves primarily by the way that they lived so that they would be a light for the Gentiles. Amen. But it didn't work for them because they chose to isolate themselves and separate themselves and not really want to have anything to do with the Gentiles. That's not what God intends for us to do. So hiding ourselves or separating ourselves is not really the answer. Because Jesus calls upon us to be salt and light in the world that we live in. But we need to understand that that call is not for just when the world is favorable to us. It's not when the world is where everybody's getting along and, you know, everybody loves everybody and we have, you know, world peace kind of a thing. Jesus calls upon us to be salt and light in a world that is falling apart. And that's the world that we live in. The world of Jesus' day was falling apart. It was farther and farther away from God and quickly drifting more and more all the time. And yet that's the world that Jesus called upon His followers and even you and I today to be that salt and light for the world that we live in. The world truly is an ungodly place. Okay? We don't need a whole lot of reminder for that. But we are called to flavor the world. That's what salt does. To flavor the world for Christ. How do we do that? Okay, that's what we want to focus on in our lesson this morning. How do we do that in this world that is really, again, not only drifting away, but is an ungodly place and really, really, truly needs to be flavored for Almighty God. Okay? The second question we want to focus on is, in that kind of an environment, in our Jerusalem, what happens when our thoughts and our feelings collide with one another? In other words, you know, we have our thoughts and we know what, you know, what's right. In other words, we know what the Bible says, but our feelings kind of help keep us from wanting to really do and follow through with what the Bible says, especially as it pertains to dealing with tough things and tough people that we have to deal with. When we find that going on, we find ourselves perhaps on a place that I just want to call Struggle Street. Okay? Where we're struggling between what we know we're supposed to do and what we really feel like doing. See? And that is a real, true struggle that we go through. It's about godly living in a truly ungodly world. We talk about our Jerusalem. The reality is that we have some tough neighborhoods in our own Jerusalem, don't we? Every single one of us do. Yeah. There are tough neighborhoods in your Jerusalem. There are tough neighborhoods in my Jerusalem. Okay? Now, I don't know if you really realize, you know, there are some people who physically live in some tough neighborhoods. Like, you know, the owner of this bicycle. That person really recognizes that they truly live in a tough neighborhood, don't they? Okay? I mean, I don't know how many locks you have to put on a bike before you feel like it's secure, but that's a tough neighborhood. All right? Now, I don't know if you can see this or not, okay? But let me show you this. You see that right there? That's a tough neighborhood when you got to put alarms on the Doritos bags. Okay? That's a tough neighborhood to live in, all right? There are some neighborhoods that are so tough that the police cars aren't even safe. Okay? Would you call that a tough neighborhood? All right, that's a tough neighborhood, but I mean, seriously? All right, when the grocery carts, you got to take the wheels off of grocery carts? That's a tough neighborhood, folks. Okay? So, you know, really, we look at these kind of things and we can laugh about it, but the reality is, neighborhoods are really tough. Some of those people in your Jerusalem are tough customers to deal with. So, in other words, how many of you have to deal with people, any of them like this? Okay? Tough customers. And again, just kind of looking at this as, you know, these are part of like the tough neighborhoods in your Jerusalem you got to deal with. People that are really kind of tough, things going on in their lives or whatever it is that just kind of make it tough. Sometimes even to the point where just like physically there are tough neighborhoods and you don't want to go into, there are tough people in our neighborhoods that sometimes it makes us where we don't want to go there with them. We don't want to go to those people because we know that dealing with them is going to be tough. That's again an example of where our thinking and our feelings kind of collide and struggle with one another. You see, the reality is for every one of us, we have, let's just call it difficult people. And I don't mean that they are intentionally always trying to be difficult, but we just have difficult stuff going on in our lives, don't we? Yeah. In other words, you know, maybe some of you have people who are angry at God for whatever reason. And they have a rage against God, and so they don't even want to talk about God. And anytime you bring up God, they're going to just kind of go ballistic on you. Any of you have people like that? You don't have to raise your hand. But you have people like that in your Jerusalem that are really tough customers. Again, folks that you'd rather just not even have to go to that part of your Jerusalem to deal with. And then there are people who just have really, really tough lives. Whatever is going on in their life, it's tough, it's difficult. And it may be that it's somebody who's really struggling with a lot of grief in their life for whatever reason. They may be someone whose life is really in turmoil because they've got a lot of family problems and maybe their family is about to fall over and fall apart. How about those who are struggling with financial difficulties or health issues? You know, all of these kinds of things make it difficult to deal with people sometimes, doesn't it? And so that makes those neighborhoods or those parts of our Jerusalem, in a sense, tough neighborhoods to deal with. And again, at times where, you know, I don't want to go to that person. I don't want to go to that part of Jerusalem, in my Jerusalem, because I know it's going to be a hassle. I know I'm supposed to share Jesus, but... And there's our thoughts and our feelings that are struggling and colliding with one another. Peter tells us this. How do we deal with those kind of folks? What do we need to do? Especially those who are antagonistic. He says, live such good lives, and the text actually says, amongst the pagans or Gentiles, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. In other words, it's a call for us in our Jerusalem, in the tough neighborhoods that we have to deal with, it's a call for us to make sure that we are living the way God has called upon us to live. To let our light shine and to be the salt that is flavoring other people's lives. They may not like it. They may accuse us of all kinds of bad things. But the bottom line is, in the end, when it's all said and done, they will acknowledge before God what we've done. See, we need to live the way God wants us to live in those tough neighborhoods in our Jerusalem, no matter what other people do. But that calls upon us then to do what's right regardless. Okay? Do what's right regardless. Jesus said it this way in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Righteousness. What is righteousness? The best definition I heard is basically to do what's right regardless. It is right living. And it's tough, isn't it, to do what's right regardless. Regardless of what other people are going to say, regardless of what other people are going to do, regardless of how they're going to think about us, regardless of the consequences, do what is right. In your Jerusalem. Even in, and especially, I would say, in the tough neighborhoods of your Jerusalem. Do what's right regardless. In the text as we were reading this morning, Paul says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Okay? Don't repay evil for evil. And that's what the feeling side of us oftentimes wants to do. And, you know, when that person hurts us in some way, then what we want to do is to pay them back. We want them to hurt as much as they hurt us. But yet, the right thing to do is to not respond that way. Don't repay evil for evil, but do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Now, we need to make sure we understand what this means. He says, do what is right in the eyes of everyone. That's not what everyone thinks is right. Because if you did that, then you'd be kind of jumping around like a ping pong ball, you know, trying to please everybody. Because what some people think is right, obviously, is not what's right, and it's not what other people think is right. The idea here is that, you know, right is right and truth is truth. And we know what that is, so do what's right. See? And though, again, they may not acknowledge it right now, eventually everyone will acknowledge that you did what was right when the time comes before God. So do what is right. See? Even when your feelings or your emotions are taken over and you don't really want to. See? Because a lot of times, again, we want to do what we feel like doing instead of what we should do. And there's that battle, again, between our feeling and our thinking. I know that I'm supposed to forgive this person, but right now I don't want to forgive this person. I know that I'm supposed to wash this person's feet, but I don't feel like washing feet right now. I know, and we just fill in the blank with whatever you know you're supposed to do in that situation with that person. But your feelings are telling you to do something different. Do what is right regardless. He goes on to say, do not take revenge, my dear friends. But leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. You see, what we need to do is to recognize that's the right thing to do. Don't seek revenge on someone. Those tough customers, those tough parts of your Jerusalem, when people are really being difficult to deal with and they're hurting you in some way, whatever it is, don't seek revenge on them. You be the light that God wants you to be, and let God take care of that person in His own way. It is His place to do so, not yours. You see, the problem is when we get kind of caught up in the whole idea of paying someone back and getting revenge and making things right and all that kind of stuff, then we lose our focus off of what we should be doing. And we're no longer doing what we should be doing. We're doing what God is going to take. So again, go back to do what's right regardless. Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and 9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. In other words, that when you recognize, yes, somebody has done something bad, somebody's hurt you in some way, somebody has done something terrible to you, you let God take care of that. You were called to suffer as a follower of Christ. You need to remember that. There's going to be suffering as we seek to follow Jesus. Okay? But the great news here is that there is a blessing that comes with that suffering. Okay? So we need to be focusing on right thoughts, right words, right actions. Do what is right. Okay? Say what is right. Think what is right. Regardless. And then finally, do not be overcome. He goes on to say it this way. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Verse 21 of our text. Okay? You see, here's the point. Again, we are supposed to be light. That means we're supposed to be influencing those around us. We are not supposed to be influenced by those around us. When we're being influenced by the world, then something is wrong. So, in other words, like this says, you're never going to influence the world by trying to be like it. That's not going to work. God calls upon us to be light in a dark world. Okay? We cannot be that light if we choose to turn the light off or to cover it up or to hide it and to kind of blend into the darkness. When we do that, then we're being overcome by the evil that is around us. Don't lose heart in the midst of the storms. And we face a lot of storms in our Jerusalem, don't we? From time to time, there's just a tremendous amount of storms. It seems like you're going to be overwhelmed by the storms that are there. Don't lose heart. Realize that whatever is going on in that storm, that God is carrying you through that storm and will give you what you need and sustain you through that storm in your life. If you fail to remember that, then you end up being the evil. Say, instead of sharing what is good, you get overcome by all of that. And we need to be the ones who are overcoming, not being overcome by the things of the world. He goes on to say, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. And we talked about that some in our Bible study this morning, the whole idea of God's Word and looking at it and studying it and searching it from the heart. It really is a matter of the heart. See, it always comes back to the heart. As we deal with the people in our Jerusalem, those who are easy to deal with and those who are in the tough neighborhoods, we need to do it from the heart, whatever it is that we are facing. He goes on to say, Peter says in verse 15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Be ready. Because especially as you deal with the tough people in your Jerusalem, those tough neighborhoods, you're going to have people that are going to ask you, why do you believe that? Why do you do that? Why do you even go to church? How can you believe in a God who does this and God who does that and allows this and so forth? You need to be ready. That's what he's telling us. Be ready to give an answer. As we started this study, we talked about the fact, and that's what this whole thing is based on, our Jerusalem, and the fact that Jesus calls upon us to be witnesses. To be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so I remind you as we finish up this morning of the My Jerusalem Challenge that we have. And the call is for every one of us to find one person in your Jerusalem to focus on. Realizing that that one person may be a tough neighborhood for you to deal with or for you to go into in your Jerusalem. They may be a tough customer. But I'd suggest to you that those are the folks who really need the message, don't they? Okay? So choose that one person if you haven't already done so and share the gospel, share your life and what Jesus has done for you with that person in your Jerusalem. Don't be afraid to go into the tough neighborhoods in your Jerusalem as long as you're carrying light. Okay. So we get ready to sing and offer an invitation song here. I just want to ask you to just be thinking about, who are the tough people, the tough neighborhoods in your Jerusalem? The tough people that you have to deal with and encounter. We all have them. There's somebody there that you want to lift up this morning, that you want to lift up in prayer. Somebody that's on your heart that you really want to try to focus on. Maybe you need some help in dealing with that person or persons, whoever it might be. Maybe you need some guidance and encouragement to help you as you go into those tough neighborhoods in your Jerusalem to allow your light to shine the way God wants it to shine. But that's what we want to do to help you with, to be the light that God wants you to be. And for those who are here this morning who are not Christians yet, if you've not given your life to Christ, I'm here to tell you this morning, you have the opportunity to do that right now. To give your life to Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, so that your light can shine in the world that we live in, then call upon Jesus as Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. We've got water ready. You don't have to wait for any special time or season. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to maybe have a private prayer conversation with him back there. And I'll be right up front to receive anyone who would like to come up here. Let's stand together and sing.